welcome back. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor previously based in New York City. I'm now on the tour for the rest of 2020 and currently in Pennsylvania on the first leg of my tour. Anyway, I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So I missed last week's podcast and Instagram Live because I was moving from Manhattan to Pennsylvania. And thank you so much for your patience because those of you who have been longtime listeners, you know that I rarely ever miss a week of the podcast. Sometimes I move some of my social media engagement around, but I really try to stay true to this and give the weekly energies and the weekly cards. So thank you for all of your amazing notes of support and encouragement with my move as I spend at least the rest of 2020, probably some of 2021 on tour. So this week, just as we wrapped up the Lionsgate portal on Wednesday, August 12th, we're going into the full moon in Leo, which is coming in on Tuesday, August 18th at 10:41 Eastern time. So this is an interesting one because it's at the tail end of Leo season because we had two new moons in Cancer last month, which is rare. We usually have one new moon in the sign that the sun is in and then a full moon in its opposite zodiac sign. So this is a powerful moon at the end of Leo, and it will most energetically affect. I mean, it's powerful for all of us, but for those of us with fire signs, so Aries, Leo, Sagittarius, as well as the intense water sign of Scorpio, is always highly affected by the Leo new moon. Because it's a really intense fire moon, these are the signs that we feel it the most. And if you have any of those as your rising sign or strong placements in your chart, that's probably going to hit you as well. What we know about new moons is they're all about manifesting and calling in. The Lionsgate portal that wrapped up last week really allowed us to gain clarity. So that could be getting clearer with messages coming in from the universe and from our guides. And for some of us, it was the Lionsgate portal from the end of July to the 13th really helped us to prioritize. When we saw things from a different angle with a little bit more clarity, where are we headed and what do we want to release from our lives as we move forward in that direction? This new moon in Leo is a great time to focus on the where are we headed piece. And what do we want to give energy to as a part of what we learned, the clarity that we kind of accessed in that portal? For many of us that had felt in limbo for some time leading up to Leo season, I've said this a bunch of times, Cancer season was really rough for me. And it took me a really long time to kind of find my zero point, my equilibrium to move forward. So any of you that are in that boat that have been in kind of that, like, I don't know which way I'm headed, I can't really see which way is up, the Lionsgate portal, and especially this new moon, really provide that fiery new spark of inspiration. So other than the obvious tie to the strength card that's ruled by Leo, I look at this energy in the new moon in Leo as moving from the moon card to the sun card. And I did an Instagram post about this. There's a video about these energies if you want to take a look. The sun card really comes as a reward after doing the work required in its predecessor in the major arcana, the moon, because it goes, in order, the moon, the sun. So when we look at that, what is the work that we were required to do? What were we asked to do in the moon? And if you've been in that moon energy, AKA when you're challenged to decipher hidden messages and work with integrating the light and the shadow of a situation, of a relationship, and within ourselves, this new moon allows us to call in and open up to receiving the beauties of the sun. So let's take a look again at our cards for August, which we went through in the monthly overview at the beginning of the month, but let's check back in. We have, as always, the first card we look at is according to the order of the Golden Dawn. So the eighth card in the major arcana, i.e. the card for August, is strength. So we see a ton of that Leo energy from, you know, just the imagery. There's the lion in the Smith Rider-Waite deck, as well as many, many iterations of this deck, including mine, including Badass Bitches Tarot, feature a lion in this part because it's really, really strong Leo confidence, fire energy. And strength is also, it's a victorious card, like the Chariot, the card that comes before strength, but unlike the Chariot, which uses almost outer strength than will, The strength card utilizes inner power and influence to persuade and to guide and to manifest. Astrologically, in addition to being ruled by Leo, strength is associated with the crown chakra. So the crown chakra is what allows us to channel, to receive and understand messages. So that's why Lionsgate portal, the Sirius portal that was at the end of Lionsgate on the 12th and 13th, really, really helps us to work with that crown chakra. What is the information we're getting? What are we downloading? Whether that's in meditation, in dream work, just in signs and symbols throughout this time period, and then working with how to understand those messages, how to almost decipher and translate these messages from the universe and you know, messages from our inner knowing, which really are one and the same. You know, our as we hear these things or dream these things or see and you know, get these downloads, it's like, oh, is that from inner knowing? Is that from outside of ourselves? It's really one and the same because we're all connected to universal consciousness. And that to me is kind of the epitome of strength card, is like it's within you and it's so powerful that you could tame a lion with it. So strength is also a card of that, you know, that Leo confidence. So yes, it's inner knowing, it's being able to use that kind of intrinsic strength, but it's also combined with that confident vibe that Leos are famous for. I felt like June and a big chunk of July, like I said, Cancer season was rough for a lot of us, were a time of pause and contemplation. Kind of like, which way am I headed? I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to feel what I'm feeling. I'm going to allow all of this watery energy to be present. Whereas Leo season brings the element of fire to illuminate and inspire and to help us move forward with things that we may have been uncertain about how to proceed before or not confident enough to proceed. So let's look at our second card for August. From the January 2020 overview, we have the Hierophant. Because the Hierophant, i.e. Oprah in my deck, is the teacher of life lessons and aha moments, August is likely to bring in a lot of important teachings and clarity where we may have been a little bit hazy throughout Cancer season. Like I said, a little bit, I feel that, but I'm not sure. And a lot of times in Cancer season, we do that dance of, is it anxiety or is it intuition? And I feel like with the Hierophant, she's showing us how to proceed. It's kind of like those undeniable signs and life lessons. The Hierophant's ruled by Taurus as well, which is associated with the throat chakra. So as we come into these realizations of like undeniable knowings, it's likely that we're going to be called to express them in some way. Whether that's sharing them with the world, whether that's verbally signing a contract, making an agreement. I moved, I signed a short-term lease. I made the announcement, I'm leaving. I shared this information. That's very Hierophant throat chakra energy. The Hierophant can also occasionally bring tests. So this month, if you're having any are you sure moments, you know, like things come up of like, you really want this? Are you sure? There may be temptations, there may be tests, and that's really the universe asking, you can have whatever it is you desire, but choose your choice and commit. The Hierophant always also rewards us when we stand in our power and we do choose that choice and we really claim our truth and our knowing. So there's definitely rewards in the sometimes hard lessons of the Hierophant. All right, let's look at our card of the week. This is my first podcast in my new tarot salon. It's exciting, guys. Sorry if my mic is a little bit echoey. It's big in here. I'm not used to this. My tarot parlor is now the size of pretty much my old apartment. Here we go. Card of the week. Two of Pentacles. Okay. I feel like we can all use some Two of Pentacles this week. And then actually just moving forward. So in the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, this card shows this mofo juggling two coins in an infinity loop. The actual infinity loop is drawn out and he's juggling the coins. And in the background, there are these ships, and you kind of see waves, and one ship is up really high and the other is low. And the combination of the themes seems to suggest the ability to balance energies in the midst of life's ups and downs, with the ships being, you know, kind of like in this chaotic storm. When I was first learning tarot, I always thought the artwork in this card, at least in the Smith Rider-Waite and the, you know, ones derived, the decks derived most closely from that, made it pretty easy to recognize that. Like, this is clearly a card of balance. It's about, you know, creating that and being adaptable. In the Badass Bitches tarot deck, I drew this card as Susie Orman because she's the queen of teaching financial balance. So when we think about her, she's always like, I forget her saying, I'm going to totally butcher this, but it's like people first, then money, then things. And she's kind of like, find the balance in life. And I always thought of her when I would see the OG dude juggling the golden pentacle coins. Astrologically, Two of Pentacles is ruled by Jupiter and Capricorn. And when you think about it, seems like polar opposites, right? Like Jupiter is that like jolly, fun, expansive. Like I feel like Jupiter is the Santa Claus of the zodiac. And then we have that workaholic, rule-enforcing Capricorn ruled by Saturn. So mean teacher, jolly Santa Claus. And you're like, oh, these two don't go together. But that's exactly what creates the equilibrium that is struck in the Two of Pentacles. So it kind of, you have both extremes and you're balancing those. And you're like, okay, when I can hold space for both, when I can allow myself to go into both and know when each is appropriate, you have that balance and flow of Two of Pentacles. This week, Two of Pentacles is really suggesting that we can find more time for both work and play. And on one end of the spectrum, if you've been challenged to find some downtime, this week will bring in some more of those fun Jupiter vibes. This could be a vacation for some of you. Oh, excuse the train in the back. I now have a train. Like I'm like in full on like fried green tomatoes country. It's kind of charming though. So for if you've been challenged to have like that me time, that fun, that release, you may have a vacation this week. You may have, and if you're not able to do that, just some like, cool, I'm gonna just like take some time for myself, go on a walk, go like run some fun errands, go, you know, or spend time with on the phone or in person with a friend that kind of refills your cup. Similarly, if you've been struggling on the flip side of that to get inspired and you're like, oh, you've been procrastinating, you haven't been able to kind of power through projects or work and you've been avoiding things, that Capricorn placement from Two of Pentacles combined with the Leo new moon on Tuesday is really going to spark that fire. So it's going to be like, okay, cool. You haven't felt, you know, compelled to do these things, and that's cool. You needed to be in that and sit in that discomfort, but now's the time. You're gonna kind of get your groove back this week. I also feel like, I mean, personally, I need that vibe of it. I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed the past few weeks with my move, getting settled into a new home, unpacking, decorated. And so I'm so looking forward to this week where I can kind of get some of my creative juices flowing, work on some projects that I needed to put down, and also have some just like me time to like meditate on my balcony and sip my tea. So I hope all of you get whatever that little piece of balance that's been missing recently. This upcoming week is going to be a beautiful reset. So got some questions in. I got a lot of messages, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who sent such kind messages via DM on Instagram, comments, emails about my move, aka my first stop on the 2020-2021 tour. So I got a lot of messages. I only got a couple of questions, but I am going to address those. So this first one actually kind of applies to the move. So especially those of you who are still residing in New York City, in Manhattan, asked me, are you leaving New York? Is it because you feel unsafe? Do you feel unsafe energetically? Are you intuiting that there's this big dangerous thing coming that's even worse for us here? Do we need to know this? Okay, so that's a good question. It's a tricky answer, actually, because yes and no. Yes, for me personally, honestly. The answer for me is yes. But we all have our own truths and we all handle circumstances and situations differently. So some things that would energetically break me may barely faze some of you and vice versa. I think I mentioned in March that I started having very vivid and ominous dreams. I think I mentioned after the fact, because I don't like to actually put fear into the collective, but after it came to fruition, I only shared in March with like a few of my besties. But when it came to fruition, I was like, I was having these dreams on the podcast. I shared it. Anyway, back in March, I started having these very, very vivid dreams that were really ominous and scary about tanks rolling into New York and about martial law. And I, in this lifetime, until now, have not experienced anything like that. So I likened it to feeling like I was in a war zone, like World War II. Like the closest thing I've seen is like Casablanca. That's one of my favorite movies growing up as a kid, like black and white Casablanca when, you know, France was being invaded. So that's what it looked like. And I was trying to decipher, is this a past life thing? Is it a premonition? Is it a premonition just for me? Is it a metaphor? And that's, you know, as we develop our intuition, we learn to work with our signs and symbols. So it seemed pretty relevant. It seemed pretty much like this is something you need to know. And as I always say with intuition versus anxiety, it felt more like intuition. Like I was still like, cool, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to feel into this. But I was like, pay attention to that. And then in June, when martial law became a reality for us New Yorkers, with curfews issued and a very intensified police state, I was like, okay, noted. That was something that was a premonition for me. And I began to listen to my dreams and messages I was receiving even more closely. I began journaling them. I'm not always the best journaler. You know, I advise it of others, but I don't always take my own advice. I began journaling all my dreams. I began talking about them and you know, really meditating on them and their meanings. So that being said, I've continued to receive negative signs and dreams about fall and winter in New York City. And again, these things would not necessarily affect everyone to the degree that they would affect me. And I truly respect and applaud those who can maintain their frequency in spite of such states. Because there are people that were there all 5 months just like me and were like, yeah, it wasn't fun, but it's fine. And I mean, it really was really, really challenging to maintain my frequency the past couple months. But I do see from the messages that I'm receiving, I do see increased crime. I see upheaval, unrest in the fall, and extreme isolation in the winter. So though the majority of my friends have already exited, I do, for example, I have two friends remaining there. And these things don't affect them. Like I said, some people, it doesn't hit as hard. And it doesn't affect them to the degree that would affect me. So in terms of the future, listen to your own inner knowing and the way that you receive signs. If you feel like, I feel darkness, I feel like something's calling me to relocate, something's calling me to make a different choice, lean into that. On the flip side, if you're like, no, I still feel good, even though all this stuff, you know, may have already happened and some things that were pretty bad, like I still feel good, I still feel like this is where I'm meant to be, listen to that. At the end of the day, whether you follow the scientific psychological model of Maslow's hierarchy of needs of the esoteric or the esoteric system of Kundalini yoga, it all starts with feeling safe, right? So wherever you feel safe, wherever you feel called to be, where you're like, cool, I'm like, I feel good here, or no, I don't. In the chakra system, the root chakra of security and groundedness comes before all of the rest of the chakras. We start with the root chakra and work our way up. And in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, it similarly starts with the base of that triangle. And it starts with physiological, which is food, water, rest, and safety. Security, having a roof over your head, before you can move up to love, belonging, and then the top being self-actualization. Now, for me, again, just me, my story only, not a universal truth, but my root chakra and physiological needs and safety were not being met. I was not sleeping for the past 2 months, which was never a problem for me. I was having really intense dreams and kind of visions in those dreams. I didn't feel safe for a myriad of reasons, and I knew I had to relocate to raise my frequency and to be able to do my job for all of you as a healer. And you know, just heed the messages that I was receiving. If I were the one who's always talking about, like, listen to your inner guidance system, follow your intuition, trust your inner knowing, and I were to ignore my own, it wouldn't make me a very good teacher or healer. So that being said, again, everyone is different. So keep listening to your own inner GPS and trusting the signs that the universe is giving to you. You're always being guided and kind of given breadcrumbs to follow for what is in your best and highest interest. It's just a matter of letting ourselves tune into it, decipher it, and trust it. Okay, so that's actually a great segue to my next question. You talk a lot about tapping into intuition, and tarot has definitely helped me to do that. You mentioned that you've also taken additional courses in psychic abilities development. What resources do you recommend if I want to continue to develop my psychic and intuitive abilities? At SunnyD33. Hey Sunny, yes, I studied with the Edgar Cayce Psychic Institute, which is based in Manhattan. It was originally in person, obviously group exercises, in person classes that I was attending You have to do kind of an interview and a little assessment to get into the class, and then they're small classes. I think they allow 25 people maybe max in each year, but they will be restarting again in February. I'm still in the online portion and then switched to online. And they have a lot of other smaller online offerings. So I would highly recommend the Edgar Cayce Institute. Lynn Hunter, who was my teacher and works as a psychic with the FBI. So she's pretty badass. Like, she literally in remote views, investigating crime scenes. She is one of those like police force psychics, and she is no joke, truly magical AF. She heads up the year-long program that I'm a part of. And I'll link to their website in the notes of this podcast. But in a shorter term, before they start their new class in February of 21, they also have study groups. So if you're looking to practice readings with other developing intuitives and psychics, they do have little mini online kind of Zoom, I think it's through Zoom, that you can meet up, and it's kind of the digital version of a meetup. And I will say that, like, I've had a really equally positive experience doing this via Zoom as I did when I was doing it in person. So it's definitely, if you're looking to develop and learn more of how to work with your intuition, how to decipher your own signs and symbols, definitely recommend them. The link is down below in the notes. I also actually stumbled upon an awesome docuseries for this. And it's funny because this question came through and I was like, okay, Edgar Cayce, I'm going to try to give some other resources. And my mom was over. That's a great thing, as I'm now close to my family. So I get to see my mom and my niece and my nephew and my dad and my sister a lot. So my mom was over for dinner and we decided we're going to watch a movie afterwards. And in my Amazon Prime recommendations, based on all of the metaphysical documentaries that I always watch, this documentary popped up. And we both really enjoyed it. It was really cool for my mom to see some of the exercises that I've already worked with to develop my own intuition. And she even recognized things and she was like, I've experienced that. And like, I've had that and I dismissed it. I kind of just was like, oh no, I'm just in my head, or that's crazy. So she found it really interesting watching this as well. So no matter what scale of how much you've worked with this, if you're already like a practicing reader, psychic healer, if you're just kind of trying to tap into your intuition more, I really recommend it. It's a series and they do different focuses, but it was like over an hour long. So I would consider it like docu-length. It's called Life to Afterlife, I Want to Talk to the Dead. And I feel like, honestly, the title was a little misleading because, yes, mediumship and members on the other side are discussed. It's really overall just more about developing your own psychic abilities. So it's like, I always say a lot of the messages that I get are predictive, that I like, whether it's for myself, with clients, I get a lot of timing. Like, people come to me a lot for timing of things, like, oh, this is going to happen in this amount of weeks, or this is around you, I see this coming in. And people are always like messaging me back, like, thank you so much, I did meet the love of my life 5 weeks later, or thank you, I did get that new job offer, like, in Leo season, exactly when you said. So that's kind of my whatever gift, I guess, or what I work with. That's funny, because I always say I was a math nerd as a kid, so like working the numbers and astrology of it is probably, that's my gift. But I'm not a medium per se. I occasionally get messages from clients, loved ones who've passed on, but it's not fully about mediumship. So if you're like, oh, that's not my thing, or that's not my area of focus, it discusses a whole lot of different areas of developing intuition and psychic abilities overall. Highly recommend it. Linking to that in the notes as well. And our final question of the week. Okay, so here we go. Where is my notes? Oh, throughout the past months, and especially Lionsgate Portal, it's become clear to me that there were several friendships and relationships that were extremely toxic that I needed to end. Can you please explain the difference when doing rituals around ending and exiting relationships? What is the difference between freezing versus burning spells? As I'm looking to work with some rituals in the waning moon this weekend before the new moon on Tuesday, at Alicia Weaver. Hey, Alicia, that is a great question. And actually, this is something friends of mine have asked me that also work with ritual work and spellcraft, because burning, freezing, and burying are all powerful ways to transform and transmute energies. In terms of toxic relationships, I recommend starting with a binding spell, and you can use ribbon, you can use tape. I like tape because the adhesive makes it easier, but in like olden times before there was plastic in it and glue adhesive, people use tape, or I'm sorry, people use ribbon or some sort of like woven ribbon twine to do this. And you basically take it, you wrap it around the person's photo. If you don't have a photo or access to a printer, you can write their full name and wrap that. But I find I'm very visual, so I like to work with a photo personally. So I wrap the photo until it's completely covered, and I say, I bind you from doing harm. Harm against me, harm against other people, and harm against yourself. Now, some of you may be like, I legit don't care if they harm themselves. I just want them out of my life and not harming me anymore. So if you want to do that, you can just bind them from harm against you. But I really like and advise to work with love and balance as much as possible. Again, Two of Pentacles calling in that balance. We don't want to wish them harm, even on themselves. After the photo is totally covered with the ribbon or the twine or the tape, this is where you choose if you want to bury, burn, or freeze. Oh my God, that would actually be an awesome segment. Bury, burn, or freeze. I'm gonna back burner that. But anyway, look for maybe a video on that in the upcoming future. My niece is teaching me TikTok, so it's excited. Anyway, number one, burying. If there is something you want to transmute and transform, it's good to put in the earth. The earth energy is very grounding. It transmutes. So if we're putting it back into the earth, it's kind of like, this isn't serving me anymore. I'm giving it as an offering to you to clear and transmute. So that can work with breakups, with exiting friendships. I know friends and clients that bury. I bury sometimes, honestly. I think I used to tell the stories of burying in the park in the middle of Manhattan. So I now have some space that I can bury more easily here. But yeah, burying is a great way to transmute and transform. Burning. If you want to burn, this is like you're completely done and you literally want this vanished energetically. It's also going to transmute it because fire, like, you know, from ashes into ether. But I would say this is a severe if you're just like, let it burn, right? The third and final is freezing. So if you're wanting to freeze this out of your life, but also allow it to thaw if and when aligned. So as I said, I've worked with all three. I really like kind of feel into the different circumstances and what the relationships are like. Were they extremely detrimental? Was it abusive that you want to burn that shit and you're like, I don't want it to thaw later, I'm done. Is it something that you kind of want to transmute with the burying, or is it something that you're like, if it's aligned, let it back in with the freezing? So I recently did a binding and freezing on a very negative, toxic friend. She's the one, I think I mentioned in a previous podcast, who called me when she found out I was leaving New York City and said that I deserve to go to infested Miami. So yeah, just from me sharing that I was leaving New York and, you know, seeking a more aligned frequency for myself. And I was considering Florida because I have a lot of friends down there as a future tour stop. And that was her reaction, which was really fueled with a lot of negativity and aggression, and honestly just like said in such a hateful way, because the undertone of that was like, you deserve to go where there's, you know, and her perception of that is, you deserve to go where there's this huge infestation and like whatever happens to you happens. So yeah, I was like, oof. I really have done a big energetic cleanup of my life over the past couple of years. So keeping overly negative, toxic, and emotionally or verbally toxic people in our lives actually hinders our growth and our intuitive and psychic abilities. So the more we can cleanse that out, the more in touch with like our channeling to universe, source, spirit we can become. And it can be really hard. I'm not going to lie. It can be really hard when you love people and you understand that the way that they speak to you and treat you is a reflection of how they treat themselves. But again, it's you know, it's really important the more that you want to be able to grow and access your intuition to be energetically as clean as possible. So that being said, I know that this person is not a terrible human. She's just painfully self-critical, which causes her to be very judgmental, very critical of the world. She's like literally going around like Aunt Lydia from The Handmaid's Tale these days. Just it's rough. But anyway, very insecure, carries a lot of trauma that she has chosen not to heal up until now. I hope that she does at some point in the future. So for that reason, I chose freezing. So I bound her photo, I did the spell, I froze it in a big block and left it in my New York freezer. So warning on the freezing, okay? If warning on the burying, if you have a dog, Lola's not a digger, she's tiny, but if you have a big dog that likes to dig, burying should be probably off where your dog doesn't dig up the yard or off, you know, where it's not gonna be accessible. Fire safety on the burning, obviously, and then warning on the freezing, if you are not the sole owner and user of your freezer, be aware that others could accidentally defrost your spell at any time. So my mom, I love you, Mom. She's a podcast listener. My mom actually tried to defrost mine when she was helping me move out of New York, and I had to explain and ask her to please leave it frozen. I was like, just leave it. I honestly don't think anyone's going to be moving into that apartment anytime soon, given the current state of New York. But if they do, that individual could easily pop back up via text or phone. But hopefully, as the intention was with my spell, it will stay frozen as long as it is aligned for both of our highest good. So I hope that is helpful. I know we only had a couple of questions, but I hope I got through all of what you were seeking from those. So before we head out, let's just quickly recap. So have a few announcements. I will be doing my Instagram lives again. I know I took some breaks and it was really chaotic for me the past couple of months. And thank you for sticking with me. Instagram lives Monday at 7:30 Eastern. It's a great chance to tune in for a free live mini reading. As I mentioned, I'm going to be doing a lot more online content, looking at some more video content and what avenues are best for that. And I'm working with Happy House, which is an incredible charity through Mason 10. And I'll be doing some more live readings with them as well. Stay tuned for the links and the dates on those. So our cards for the month before we exit, once again, we have that we're in the last week, we're in the tail stretch of Leo season. The third week of August, last week of Leo, and we're working with that Leo ruled strength card, reminding us to channel our inner power. And August also brings us the Hierophant from our annual overview. And the Hierophant this month is, you know, she's the teacher of life lessons and aha moments. It's the Oprah card. And she's going to provide some much needed clarity after all of the work that we did and all of the things that we went through in Cancer season. And this week brings us Two of Pentacles, bringing in an easier flow of work and play, emotions and drive with that Jupiter and Capricorn balance. I hope that you enjoyed that. Thank you for bearing with me in the chaos of my relocation and for all of the beautiful wishes and DMs and messages. I love you all. And as always, stay magical AF.